vows priest, the book of Daniel, chapter 8. We'll pick up a reading in verse 23. Daniel chapter 8, beginning in verse 23. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding, dark sentences shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not of his own power, and he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper in practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without him. And the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, which shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted, and was sick certain days afterward. And I arose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. Let's pray. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to Thee now, Lord, we're continuing our study about the Antichrist. And dear Lord, we do believe that the end times are upon us. And Lord, we realize that He'll not be revealed until after the church has been raptured. Lord, there is some things that we need to study about, some things that would be beneficial to us to understand. Otherwise, it wouldn't be in Scripture. And Lord, I just pray that You'd open our hearts as we look into some of these things this afternoon. And dear Lord, if there be one here that's lost, I pray this is the time that You speak to their hearts and draw them unto Yourself. And dear Lord, what You do for us, we'll thank Him and praise You for these things we do ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Continuing our look into the Antichrist.
Yes.
And we had gotten up to where we was looking at some of the attributes that he had. And last week we looked at was he would be a man of power. And we saw this was in Revelation chapter 13, verse 7 and 8. These verses tell us that the Antichrist will eventually rule the entire world. He'll have great power, as we saw here in Daniel. Conquerors down through the ages have sought to do this. They've sought the lofty goal of conquering and ruling the world, but they failed. Even Alexander the Great, would have come the closest, did not manage this feat, but the Antichrist will. What people won't recognize or won't care about is the fact that he receives his power from Satan. It's not from any of his own. It's not from anything, any talents or things that he possesses from God. Rather, his ability will be given to him directly from Satan. Daniel chapter 8, verse 24, and his power shall be mighty, but not of his own, as we saw earlier. He is going to possess power like nobody has ever seen here on this world, but it's all given to him by Satan. He will become so large in the eyes of humanity that they will literally worship him as their God. And that's sad. And say when anybody gets so viewed so high and mighty by the world that they see him that way and worship somebody like that. Just think about the way the thing, and it has been for many times now, celebrity worship. And there are some people that are certain celebrity, but they just fall down, they fall before them, they'll faint away and they'll scream and carry on. And they're just absolutely in awe, these celebrities. This will be more even than that when that time comes. All of this will be true in the beginning of his reign. However, in the middle of the tribulation, this man of peace, this man of prosperity, this man of good tidings will then show his true colors. And it'll be there before them too long. We slid down the abominations of the Antichrist. He, verse 24 in the first part, or 24 to 25. We see in chapter 7 of Daniel that he will attack the people of God. The Antichrist will break his covenant with Israel, and he will attack the people of the Lord. So Israel will think that they have been made. Israel will, for once, will be at peace without any threats, without any problems around her. She'll think that things are finally as they want them to be, but at the middle part of the tribulation period, all that's going to change, and the Antichrist will attack them. He will try to do what Hitler, Stalin, and others failed to do, and that is exterminate the Jew. He will see them as a blight. He'll recognize them for being God's people because of the fact he's empowered by Satan, and it'll be his purpose, his intent, to eradicate the world of their existence. He will lash out at the Jews and try to completely destroy them. We're seeing the spirit at work in our world today, the spirit of Antichrist. Anti-Semitism is not something that ended with the close of World War II. It is something that's flourishing even today.
Yeah.
And it is something that is all over, really. It's not that those that are practicing it are not going to try, or not trying, rather, to hide it in any way at all. They're just going full force with it. It's becoming increasingly unpopular today to be a Bible believer. Bible believers are mocked, they are ridiculed, they're ignored. Just about anything you could admit or think of that in a negative fashion, that is what's coming to those people that believe the Bible today. And that's something that, again, is at the heart of it, the spirit of Antichrist that is going around. In fact, those of us who are trying to follow the Word of God, those of us who are trying to follow the ways of God, are labeled intolerant. We're the ones depicted as the enemy. We're the ones that is depicted as being mean-spirited and evil-hearted and all those things, when in reality, we are the ones that are trying to follow God. We're not the enemy. The sin is the enemy, not the people of God. We're told that we must protect the spotted owl. At the same time, we tolerate the murder of millions of innocent unborn children. And there's something wrong. We're supposed to protect all these little creatures that go around. I forget, maybe it was a spotted owl. There was one of those I was thinking that, if they found one of them in the out west where they timber a lot, there was so many acres that had to be protected because of one of those little critters. I think if I was a timberman, I'd be tempted to take care of that little critter and let nobody know about it, when it's your livelihood dependent upon it. But that probably would be the best way to go anyway. But we're told that we're supposed to tolerate homosexuality and lesbianism. We're told that we're supposed to encourage this transgender nonsense that's going around. It's male and female created he them. And telling me there's just two. There's not a multitude of genders, there's just two. And they are as they are because that's how they were created by God. And that settles it. I mean, that doesn't leave any room for discussion. That settles it once and for all. We are told that we are bigots. We speak out about the evils of our society. Again, we are depicted as being the enemy. We are told that we have no voice in the government, that we are to be quiet. We're told that we're supposed to soften our stance. In other words, be inclusive to the things that are wrong, to not speak out against the things that are wrong, to allow them to go on unchecked or without any voice against it, when everything in Scripture tells us we are to take a stand for God, not soften our stance, not to compromise with the things of the world, but stand for the things of God and be solid on those things that we are to do. We're just keep an eye on things in the next few years, as bad as it is now. If the Lord does return soon, it might be, and I'm not ringing a bell, but I'm telling you it could be, it's the way things are going, to be illegal to be a fundamental Bible-believing Christian. It seems like it's headed that way as quick as it can go. The church is under attack, and this will continue until the rapture. It's just going to get worse and worse and continue to increase until that time. Then the focus of Satan's anger, once the church is gone, he won't be after the church any longer. It'll be after Israel completely and totally. He will attack the Prince of God. We saw in verse 25. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. And he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he'll be broken without him. Here we're told that the man of sin will stand up against the prince of princes, who is none other than Jesus. He will stand up against the things of the Lord. He'll proclaim, he'll be opposed to everything that was connected with the Lord and is connected with the Lord, and will strongly go just for himself. It appears that anything having to do with godliness, holiness, or Jesus will be the focus of the attacks of this madman. And therefore, one of the reasons why he's going to focus his attack on Israel, because they're at least going through the motions at this time of following after the Lord. He will make every effort to stamp out the name of Jesus from the face of the earth, but in doing so, attempting to do so, it'll never happen. That day, it's already been taken care of, as we saw earlier. The Lord will raise up an army of Jewish men, 144,000 in all, who will go throughout the world preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Revelation chapter 14, we saw that. Thank the Lord for that 144,000. Satan will not be successful. He'll not bring about what he wants, but he's going to give it everything he has and fight very hard for that. The Antichrist, however, will be powerless to stop them. Aren't you glad that even in the midst of the chaos, even in the midst of everything that's going on, God is still on the throne and he's still in control? As we look at today, this attitude is already being manifested in our day. When was the last time you ever heard someone use the name of Allah as a curse word? I never have. Boy, they sure use the name of the true and living God in profanity. If they would talk that way under the name of Allah, the Muslims all over this world would revolt. And yet Christians just kind of stand back and maybe cringe a little bit inwardly, but that's about the extent of it. When was the last time you saw somebody in a fit of anger make use of the name of Buddha? You haven't, you won't. Now, when was the last time you heard the name Krishna uses a curse word? Again, you haven't and you won't. The name that is attacked with alarming frequency is the name of Jesus. We hear that blessed name used as a byword by a Christ-rejecting world all the time. You can't hardly go through a day without hearing any of that, without hearing that garbage and stuff that goes on. And it's keeping with that. You might as well face it. The devil hates the name of Jesus. He hates it, and he will attempt to discredit it and destroy it until the time that he's cast into the lake of fire. He's not going to let up. It's not going to be a time when he's not going to be doing that which he is very good at doing. Why is it that Jesus and his doctrines are the most hated things in the world? Because if people admit the fact that he is Lord, that he died and rose again, and that he in fact is the Savior, then they must admit that they are a sinner and will be doomed to hell. And they're not going to do that. We see that in those that talk about how basically they're good and everything, they're trying the best they can and they're doing the best they can. And everything is working, fairly well for them. And again, there are a good person. When the Bible points out clearly that there are no good, there's none righteous, no, not one. If the Bible's right about Jesus, then it stands to reason that it's right about everything else as well. If they admit that, then they have to admit the other parts of the Bible as well. The world hates its name because it points out their sins. It shines light upon their sins. It shines light upon their life. He will attack the place of God. We see this in a multitude of places. Daniel 8, verse 25, 11, 36 and 37, 9, 27, 2 Thessalonians, Matthew as well. All these verses tell us that the Antichrist will break his seven-year covenant with the Jews. And at that point, as we said already, he will attempt to wipe Israel from off the map, and he will enter. This man energized by Satan, will enter into the newly constructed temple and walk into the Holy of Holies and set up his throne in the place that's reserved for God. He will declare himself to be God, and he will demand worship from all the people, but especially who? The Jews, who he's after the most. He will desecrate their temple, that is the Jews. The passage we read as our text today is directly fulfilled by a man by the name Antiochus Epiphanes. Antiochus Epiphanes. Now he was a Syrian. He came to the throne in 175 B.C. and ruled until 164 B.C. This would be the time of the intertestamental period between the close of the Old Testament and the opening of the New. You can find the accounting of some of this in the books of the Apocrypha. But we know those aren't inspired, but there's some information you can get from them sometimes. He was an anti-Semite to the core. He assaulted Jerusalem, murdering over 40,000 in 3 days and selling an equal number into slavery. It is thought that on September 6, 171 B.C., he began his evil actions toward the temple. On December the 15th, 168 B.C., his temple desecration reached its ultimate low, for it was on that day that this idolater sacrificed a giant sow on an idol altar that he had made in the Jewish temple. Can you imagine a hog offered in the temple? Of all the despicable things to be done to a Jewish house of worship, that's pretty high on the list. He then forced the priests to swallow its flesh, made a broth of it, and sprinkled the entire temple. He finally carried off the golden candlesticks, table of showbread, altar of incense, various other vessels, and destroyed the sacred books of the law. A large statue of Jupiter was placed in the Holy of Holies. All of this was turned by the horrified Jews as the abomination of desolation, and referred to by Jesus in Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, as a springboard to describe the activities of the future Antichrist. And it fits it very, very, very well. All through Palestine, altars of Jupiter were set up, and the Jews were forced to sacrifice to them. But at a little Jewish town called Modin, 17 miles northeast of Jerusalem, there lived a Jewish priest named Mathenas, M-A-T-T-A-T-H-I-A-S. And I didn't pronounce that right. Mathis. We'll call him George. the House of Handsome. He had 5 sons, and this brave old man not only refused to worship Antiochus' idols, but he slew the king's ambassador. And with that, the Jewish revolt was on. One of his sons was named Judas, And he was called the Maccabee, which means the hammer. And for the next few years, Judah successfully led an army of Jews against the Syrians. Their brave exploits are described in the two apocrypha books, 1 and 2 Maccabees. Again, these books are not divinely inspired. They're just historic books. On December 25th, 165 B.C., the Jewish patriots rededicated the temple Antinous had defiled. This later became a Jewish holiday known as the Feast of Dedication. We see in John chapter 10, verse 22. Now note, in Daniel 8, 14, there is a time period of 2,300 days mentioned. This apparently began on September 171 B.C., and ended on December 25th, 165 B.C. It was, however, on the basis of this period that William Miller, founder of the modern Seventh-day Adventist movement, went astray. He made the day stand for years and arrived at the date of October 22nd, 1844, for the return of Jesus. Well, he didn't come, so he was off on that. Antinous died in Babylon in 164 B.C. after being defeated in battle. What Antinous did in part, as horrible as it was, will be done in full by the Antichrist. He will declare to the world that he is God and that he must be worshipped. And the sad thing is that the Bible tells us very clearly that the world will be led to worship the devil from hell. And that's really what it boils down to, is what they're doing, what's going on. The world will not bow to the Lord Jesus, but they will worship this satanically charged madman and will give him praise. It should be reserved exclusively for God, but such is the way of the flesh. The last thing we're going to look at is the annihilation of the Antichrist, verse 25. It'll be sudden. We found here that the Antichrist will be broken without hand. That means that the Antichrist will be defeated, but not by man, not by conventional warfare or conventional battle. His kingdom will be overthrown, but it'll be a supernatural defeat. It's just made clear in Revelation chapter 19, verse 20. When God judges this man, he will do it swiftly and harshly. And the simple fact is, defeat is certain for the Antichrist. This will be serious. Looking again at Revelation chapter 19, verse 20, we find where it says that the Antichrist will enter the lake of fire alive. The lake of fire alive. Then, 1,000 years later, Satan himself is judged and condemned to the lake of fire. When he is thrown in, the Bible tells us that the beast is still there, Revelation 20 and verse 10. Still there, still in the middle of the lake of fire. In spite of the abilities, in spite of his power, in spite of his greatness, in spite of the fact that he received the worship of men, he is still defeated. He cannot prevail over God. All the while he was ruling the world in great power, he was nothing more than a puppet in the hand of God. He was accomplishing the will of God, what God had set out to do, what God had determined to do. Had God not allowed it, it wouldn't have been able to have been done. Any of the things that he did, nothing would have ever taken place. He was merely a pawn fulfilling a divine purpose, and that purpose was to bring judgment upon Israel, and it was the purpose was to bring Israel closer to God. This is true. Even though he was empowered by Satan himself, God is now and forever shall be the one who is in complete control of all things. Beloved, as we've looked here, we spend a good bit of time looking at the Antichrist. Let us keep in mind always that he cannot do and will not do more than God allows him to. As horrible as it's going to be, it's still God is still in control. Let's pray.